I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts. Station or diesel.
Black smoke in a gasoline car typically indicates that too much fuel is being burned relative to the amount of air available for combustion.
The Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
You've got me, Mr. Magnanimous. Love every day.
So, if you want to get high and listen to some record.
Jeff Lutz.
I'm not nice. Oh, please. I think you're on a mission to damage my credibility.
You're really a broken toy, aren't you?
And Jason Duda. For today, anyway.
I'm confused. I don't even remember, but I must have found it funny.
Hey, that figures, you know?
Yeah, sure does.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Your visit is always discreet.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Thursday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, as normal. And here's Jason Duda making up the three-man booth. We have so much fun with it as the holidays approach. How you doing today, Duda?
Just fine. Thank you for asking.
That's it. Jeff?
Fine.
Here we go. We're embarking on another exciting show with Jeff Lutz.
What are you talking about?
Well, I have something to say.
You asked me how I was.
Well, tell us a little bit.
Fine. Thank you. There's a little, very little bit.
Have you been whiny the last few days, Jeffrey?
I don't think so. Have you?
No. I'm just asking because it seems like your dad's a little upset with the way you've started today.
He thinks I've been angry.
I didn't. You don't have to interrupt me, sir.
Didn't that anger?
Yeah, you're kind of jumping the gun there.
You came in with a little bit of an attitude. I'm fine, as always.
I came in with an attitude. I came in and was petting with Misty.
Yeah, but now look at you. My headset's right here, dummy. There was that, and then...
Do you make stuff up in your head and then just
That's kind of what it sounds... You might as well have said that.
Oh.
Well, he did imply that I was kind of dumb.
Right.
But I didn't take it personally.
Yeah, and I don't have to imply it, because if that's what I was thinking at the time, I would have said it to you.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
so now you're just tactless.
Maybe
you're just going to call somebody a dummy.
Well, he didn't really call me a dummy. He implied.
But I'm saying he said he would have if he was thinking it.
It may have looked like I was sitting on him from the angle he was at, but I wasn't, because I could just pick him up.
Well, he made that clear, so I didn't say anything else about it.
And it was over. Like, it was that easy.
I didn't know it registered with you that way.
Well, it just seemed like an unnecessarily tense interaction. And no one wants to get us started off of that foot.
Grumpy pants.
Absolutely not.
Aren't you still happy from eating Thanksgiving?
Eating Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving food.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm still eating it. So it's
great. Really? You've got leftovers this far?
I had three of them. Three Thanksgivings.
Well, we had two.
I had three.
Well, we had three. Jeff didn't offer any leftovers. But the meal was good.
We didn't cook much of it. Like, the leftovers we had were stuff other people brought. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I'm sure you could have asked... to take some. We just finished off our turkey. We had about 6-7 bowls of turkey noodle soup, which was just fantastic.
That does sound
good. Some of the best stuff my wife has ever made.
The only good turkey we had was at your place. And, you know, I'm not a big dark meat turkey guy. I'm not interested. It's all about the turkey breast for me, the chicken breast. That's what I want.
Okay.
I want the white meat. You understand?
We had that, right?
Yeah.
We had both, I think.
Yeah, I'm not a big big dark meat guy.
Oh, I like
So how many places
you
did
like
you
that?
Go?
Yeah, I like them both.
That's your preference?
Look at me. I like them both.
But is it your preference?
I like dark meat when the cookie's cooked, and then after for sandwiches, I like the white. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I like white on my sandwiches I make after.
Believe it or not.
I like dark when the turkey is cooked.
Do you treat your leftover turkey, as far as sandwich goes, do you treat it just like a cold cut? You go with the lettuce, tomatoes, or do you do something different since it's a little different texture?
Super plain.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Mayo, salt and pepper, turkey.
Yeah.
Done.
That's it?
I feel that. That's probably the way to go.
Probably a good idea.
And with the ham, I use a ham sandwich. My wife makes a homemade mustard. You've had the mustard, I think.
Oh, she sent some to me.
Again? Yeah. So that, and that's it.
Yeah, it was delivered.
Simple.
How nice. Very good pie she made. I told you to tell her. I'm not sure you did. You said you weren't going to tell her.
I didn't.
Well, that's too bad. Well,
she's listening right now, so now she knows.
I'd like her to know it's appreciated.
Chex Mix was good, too.
Yeah, I didn't get much of that.
Neither did I. Jeff got most of it. Especially
I still found a couple Cheez-Its later. It's bizarre.
No way.
It's crazy.
Well, listen, it was good. Everything was good. And now we'll get ready to see what Dia has in store for me coming up on Christmas.
Oh, jeez. I can only imagine.
Well, you never know.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
And birthdays.
So last night, a really good night of college basketball. Unfortunately, Marquette, Iowa State, you had to go to ESPN Plus to watch, which is ridiculous. But I watched a good chunk of it.
Well, you just said yesterday that there were like 7 or 8 really good games. Some of them are going to have to be relegated.
Yeah, I hear you, but that's the best.
Streaming only.
That's 2 top 6 teams. You'd like to think that you could get
two top six teams in Milwaukee and Ames, though. It's like you're going to get that Duke-Auburn game on national.
Well, no question. Duke-Auburn's going to be on national TV. And Duke won that game. And
correct.
KU went down on that game was televised on Fox Sports.
FS1.
And KU just never got it going against a Creighton team at home in a great atmosphere. Made me miss that building. Covered some really, really exciting and loud games there. And Wichita State Creighton, when you think of the rivals that Wichita State's had through the years, that's got to be number one.
Or Tulsa.
Creighton's got to be number one.
Creighton over Tulsa.
Yes, sir.
Huh.
I'm not a basketball guy, but I would say it was Creighton while I was here.
Yeah. Tulsa back in the 80s.
When I was here.
But the Creighton rivalry was a snapshot. It was basically Altman and McDermott versus Greg Marshall. Maybe a little bit of Turgeon in there. But, yeah, I would say Turgeon.
Some of the best moments of that were the Turgeon era.
4 coaches. It's just a snapshot of a 15-year period. Tulsa was a rival for decades.
No, they were really a strong rival when Nolan Richardson and Gene Smithson were coaching. Now, that was – they should make a documentary about that.
Maybe they will someday.
That would be unbelievable. And then J.D. Barnett had a little something to say about it all. But really, only for a few years was Tulsa-Wichita State a real big, heated rivalry.
Okay, well,
and Creighton-Wichita State was a real big, heated rivalry for 20
years. Yeah, I feel like – here's what I feel like. Yes, it was. There's no doubt about that. But if it had been – another team that was also good in the Valley at the same time. It didn't have to be Creighton. You know what I'm saying? It could have been Northern Iowa. If those were the two top 25 type teams in the conference. With Tulsa, it was purely regional. That was a real, like, we hate you rivalry just based on what uniform you're wearing. Creighton is because they were good.
Well, no, I disagree.
Okay, go.
Creighton's a great regional rival, too.
It is, but when you think of Wichita, you think of Oklahoma
Omaha
City.
Omaha and Wichita are natural city
I've
rivals.
I've never heard of that before.
Just as Wichita and Tulsa.
Yeah.
Wichita's not a real strong rival of Cedar Falls, Iowa. Okay?
I don't think it's that strong of a rival of
you
Omaha.
Dig, Duda?
Wichita's rivals are Oklahoma City, Tulsa, and Kansas City.
And Omaha.
No.
Yes.
Omaha, no.
Absolutely.
I don't agree.
The Creighton-Wichita State rivalry was also bolstered by other sports, like baseball. Huge.
Sure.
Huge. You can't win this argument.
I have already won the argument.
I think you're doing okay.
Just by participating in it, I've won it.
Volleyball. Tulsa's never been a rival in anything other than men's basketball.
I don't think that's right.
Give me another one.
Track.
Idiot. Next.
You said give you another one.
Right.
And I did.
And that's wrong.
Is it?
Yes.
You have proof?
Yeah, my career, my living through it all.
Yeah, but you didn't follow a lot of Tulsa track, be honest.
Who did?
Exactly.
But do you see where I'm saying? Creighton and Wichita State in everything.
Snapshot.
They were almost always at the top of the valley in every sport.
Right.
And
that's why Creighton got an invite to the Big East.
Creighton got an invite to the Big East because it's a private school, Jesuit private school. Wichita State is not. That's why they didn't get invited to the Big East. One of the reasons. The major impetus behind the Big East was private, religion-based schools.
Fine. But Creighton still went.
Right.
Not based on just being a private school. Based on having success in athletics.
You want to weigh in on any of this? Because I feel like I'm arguing with a stone wall. A guy who would just argue to argue.
He wants to argue his point, so this is what he does. I can actually appreciate that. I don't know if I agree.
What do you agree with? Did Omaha ever have a team in the CHL?
No.
Basically, for you, it was Oklahoma City and Tulsa.
Well, sure.
As your Wichita rivals.
Right.
I'm thinking
Omaha
about.
Omaha didn't have a team.
Right. There you go.
When Omaha and Wichita had AAA baseball, Omaha was a rival. Not a big rival because it's AAA baseball.
Yeah, there's no such thing as AAA rivals.
Oh, there is.
No, there's not.
Wichita had one with Tulsa, too.
See? Thank you for proving my point.
But the rivalry with Tulsa and Wichita State is nowhere near what Wichita State Creighton is.
All right.
Look what Tulsa's become. A nothing.
Well, look what Wichita State has become.
They've had moments. They've had a lot of moments in the past 20 years. Right now, they're figuring out what they are.
And what are they?
Wichita State has dropped to nowhere near the depths of Tulsa. And if you're saying that, you need to go have your head examined because you're not a Lutz. You're some idiot mailman, son, because I'm not going to tolerate it.
Oh, okay. There you have it. The hammer was dropped. Do you have anything to say, Jeff?
Not really.
Oh, he's looking up something.
Well, that's all right. It's okay to look up something.
Yeah, I'm seeing how bad Tulsa really got.
When it was...
Yeah, they were bad for 3 years.
No, they've been pretty bad for a long time.
No, they haven't. Here are their records in the last 20 years, or 19. 20-11, 25-14, 25-11, 23-12, 19-13, 17-14, 17-16, 21-13, 23-11, 20-12, 15-17, 19-12, 18-14, 21-10, and then they went 11-12 in the COVID year, 11-20, 5-25. They were 16-15.
And they're not very good, and they haven't been good for a while. And they've certainly been nowhere near what Wichita State was.
But they haven't been bad.
They're not very good.
Have they made the tournament in the last 20 years?
Have they made the tournament?
I don't remember if they have.
They made it in 15, 16, and 13, 14.
And they were ousted quickly.
And 02, 03, 01, 02, 99. They used to make it a bunch.
How many times has Creighton made it?
A lot more.
Thus, Creighton being a much bigger rival.
Well, I would agree with on the basketball, that's what I would say. Because I wasn't here for all those years either, younger. But when Creighton was here, Creighton WSU basketball was a huge rival. Now, when it comes to everything else, I can't say that I think that they would
baseball,
be.
Huge.
Because when I think, that's fair. I wasn't around. I wasn't here.
Volleyball,
so I don't know.
Pretty good.
But when I think of more rival stuff, I think of Oklahoma City Tulsa, but that's just because played in the Central Hockey League, those were your two rivals. So Omaha never really got to on that side of things.
Yeah,
so that's where
I
stand.
Like
well, I don't know.
And I know it's important that everyone understands.
I don't know what you needed to add there.
Well, I added quite a bit. It was,
not really.
It was really good content from someone that wasn't
it
here.
It was walking the fence content.
When someone who just got here in 96, 97. That's how I see it.
Well,
from that time on.
That's a great job of straddling the fence.
Was Creighton a Wichita State rival in 1999 when Creighton went to the tournament and Wichita State finished 6-12 in the league? Were they rivals then?
Yes, because I remember a game up in Omaha where Wichita State was awful, went up there and played them, and it was a really good game. And Paul White was a factor in that game.
That was before 98, 99.
Yeah, a little before.
Like 7-8 years.
I'm just saying, and anybody would agree with me. Anybody who knows anything.
Well, on the
this one.
And on the Creighton side, Wichita State was their biggest rival.
Was Wichita State Creighton's biggest rival?
Of course.
They were. I read.
More than Nebraska?
Of course.
If you say so.
I was lucky enough to spend a lot of time with Bruce Rasmussen back then, who was the AD.
You were lucky?
He's a great guy.
He's a great guy. How'd you know Rass?
I met him out through some guys out at the course. And so when he come in, I'd hang out with them the whole time. I mean, he sent me, I got probably 5 Creighton shirts in my
He's a good man.
Closet, because he sent them to me for Christmas presents and would always send me Merry Christmas, Happy Thanksgiving.
And of course he told
me. I talk to those guys, they're like, they couldn't wait to play WSU. That was it. On the calendar, that was the one that was circled. So when it comes to basketball, I think that's a no-brainer.
Do you think anybody's ever...
a no-brainer. It's why are we even having this discussion? Because this hard-headed fool won't just say, you know what, I don't know why I'm saying this. I should just shut up and not say anymore.
Do you think anyone's ever said, I was lucky enough to get to know Jeff Lutz pretty well over...
No.
No, probably not.
Especially not after this conversation.
I wish somebody described themselves as lucky to know me. Text me if you feel that way.
Oh, there's David Michael Hahn.
I don't know if he listens anymore. He's kind of bailed on us.
No wonder.
Whoa. Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. Haven't heard from him during the show for a while.
I'm surprised Ron Baker hasn't texted and said, Jeff, are you nuts?
Yeah, where is Ron Baker on this
of
one?
Of course Creighton was
but
the biggest
during his
rival.
Year, of course Creighton was the biggest rival.
They were for 20 years.
Sure. When did they leave for the Big East? Was that during Ron Baker's tenure?
My last
tenure?
Year at the Eagle.
So it was he played Creighton all 4 years or five.
Yes.
Okay.
And knocked down dragouts. Hotly contested.
Ron doesn't usually text when he disagrees with me, so.
Well, no wonder he's gone. No wonder he's gone silent.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. I opened myself up to that one.
He doesn't text me when he disagrees with me. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I opened myself up for that one.
Yeah, you did.
But Ron, well, let
me tell you, every Shocker fan disagrees with.
As tired as Ron and I are, I think we've reached the point where he can dissent a little.
Were
bit.
Were you just saying this today just to be a dissenting voice, to borrow your word?
Well, I like exploring topics. I don't
Let's start to explore.
I don't like going just straight black and white. I like talking things through. I'd rather talk things through and be what you call.
So what do you think?
What you call wrong, and I just call educated. But I'd rather talk it through. And
you needed to be educated about the Shocker's biggest
I'm educating others.
In how?
In having the conversation. Like, no one gets anything out of, well, Creighton was their biggest rival. Okay, probably a lot of people agree with that. But if we don't explore other possibilities, then there's no context. And we just say, okay, well, Creighton.
So you're willing to make yourself look like a buffoon.
No, I'm willing to educate.
To educate.
In order to.
So you're the teacher who is, you know, the class is saying, can you believe this idiot?
No, I encourage others to think more deeply about different topics.
And the class is going, God, what?
And if we just say, well, it's Creighton, then we have, okay, well, we'll take a break. It's 2:03. We'll figure something else out.
No, we'll talk about why.
Not as interesting.
Mike,
I'd rather do the critical analysis.
Okay, there is really no critical analysis.
Well, it feels like we just had it.
Yeah,
and you're welcome.
You being thrown under 15 buses,
Ron.
You had no chance.
No tax at all from anybody.
Nothing. And nobody's defending you.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
In fact, you right now. Amongst our listeners, however many there are out there, I don't know, a few thousand, I don't know how many are listening right now, but amongst all of those people, your reputation has been soiled.
I think, who cares? I don't even care what my, who cares? I think
well, you should care.
You just said you wanted someone to talk to you about, I was lucky to know him.
Yeah, that's different.
So how do you not care then?
Reputation is what outside forces think of you. In, your inside, your circle, that what they think
Where,
of
who's
you.
Who's in your circle?
Oh, there's a lot of people.
Your wife and daughter.
Jason.
Who's
Jason Duda?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I would say he's in the circle.
Am I?
No.
Is my wife?
She's working on it.
Is who is?
My wife.
And whoever else is texting.
And Jason.
When he asked.
And Ron Baker.
Now, your wife would definitely agree with you only because you said it. She wouldn't know. But if Jeff says it, it must be true.
Now, don't wow. portray her like that. My wife disagrees with me all the time.
Not on these kinds of things.
Well, she doesn't care about...
Then how is she in your circle?
She's in my circle.
Here we go. We've got a good show for you today. Joe Auer, the head boys basketball coach at Wichita Heights...
He always does this.
...will join us at 2:25 right after the break. At 2:45, Martin Shetler from Andover High. We'll talk with him about the Trojans. We've got picks coming up, hour number two. I am right back in it, folks. You guys dropped the ball in a big, big way last week.
Yeah, I had the Raiders down, too, and I just changed it at the end. Yeah, well, it makes it more fun this way.
Yeah, there you go.
Not really concerned.
Yeah, you're falling apart.
Bah.
Back with Joe Auer after this.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 90s.
We are with Joe Auer, the head boys basketball coach at Wichita Heights. They're coming off consecutive second place finishes in Class 6A after winning the year before that. A remarkable run. Joe Auer, welcome. How are you?
Great, Bob. Hello, Jeff. Jason, thanks for having me on today.
Thank you.
We're always happy to have you on. And you've got another... A very good team. T.J. Williams graduated. He's currently at Wichita State. But really, everybody else is back. You're kind of locked and loaded. Do you have any room for – is there any newcomer that's making a case for himself?
Well, we returned four starters. Malachi Wilkins, Chase Robinson, Avon Moulet, and Jalen Timmons. So The other guys in our top 10 were all guys that played in our JV program and played a little bit of varsity. So everybody that will contribute, earned their way up through the ranks and ready for their opportunity to be a part of hopefully another successful Falcon season.
So we talk to the Wellington girls coach a lot, and we always talk about how their season – probably one way or another will come down to how they play against Bishop Miege in the state tournament. It's only been 1 year, but I feel that way sort of about Heights and Shawnee Mission Northwest. How much have you thought about your game against them last year and thinking about how you might attack them or how a team could be successful against a team like that that has 7-footer and guys that are 6'5" playing on the wing?
To be honest, we've thought about them a lot simply because it was our last game, and we when you're that close, it hurts and it stays with you. And so we thought about a lot of, and they return everybody. So, the two teams in the 6A state championship, 9 of the 10 starters are back this year. And they were a very unique team with a 7-foot-1 center that's only going to be a junior this year, 7'1", 245 pounds. He's got a kid named Ethan Brown that, Ethan Taylor that has offers all over the country. Their point guard is signed with Illinois. A tremendous team. But I think most importantly, we're just thinking about ourselves and, you know, what we have to do to get better. And we shot the three very poorly. They really hadn't played any zone all year and made a late decision to do that against us. We had success all year against teams that played zone, but on that particular day, we just got stagnant and didn't shoot it well. So we've watched that film a lot, talked about how to get better, and I don't think that the problems we encountered on that particular day will get us again.
Joe, the guy that's been around and has as much success as you've had, how long is it before you kind of know exactly what you have? Is it in the summer? Is it just before you start? Or do you need to play those first few games? Or is it even maybe the midseason tournament kind of thing? When do you kind of have a really good idea on what you need to tweak or where you're going to be at for the season?
Well, I think that comes in a couple of waves. With the rule changes over the last 10 years, 15 years, we're able to work a lot in the summer. We play in the league, and then we also travel, and we played teams from four different states in a tournament in Kansas City. So we played about 12 games as a team this summer that I could coach. We practiced 3 days a week. So you have a pretty good feel for what you're capable of leaving your summer session. But I think it's really the midseason tournament where you truly find out, because you know high school basketball is a grind. It's 6 days a week. It's a 4 month long season, two games a week. So who can hold up to the physical wear and tear? A lot of kids, they play a lot of basketball in the summer, but they don't practice a lot of basketball. They're not held accountable via film watching and coaches that are paying really close attention to detail. So, you know, the mental side of the long season, scouting reports, how you adjust to how people are guarding you and attacking you. I think it takes about 10 to 12 games to get a good feel for how your group that particular year is going to handle that. So you've got a decent feel for your talent level and your abilities at the beginning of the year because of the summer session. But as far as how good a team you can be, I don't think it's till after the midseason tournament, Jason.
Joe, our guest, the winningest coach in City League basketball history. So I'm going to ask you a question. I don't think I've ever asked you this question, but I thought about it earlier today when I was texting you to come on the show. You've been a teacher as well as a coach for many years. Are you still teaching? You retired from that, correct?
I retired from the classroom after the 22 school year. So this is my third year out of the classroom and just coaching.
My question still pertains.
For 34 years.
So, yeah, you taught a long time, and you taught government and history. Nobody probably ever called you to come on a radio show to talk about teaching government or history. A lot of people probably call you to get your thoughts on basketball and coaching. Is that right? Is that how it should be?
That's a good question. No. Yeah, you would think that there would be. I kind of compare that to attendance at basketball parent meetings versus attendance at student-teacher conferences. Our basketball parent meeting is a full house. Everybody's there. They're there early. They stay late. Parent-teacher conferences, if I had 150 students in a semester, I was maybe seeing 20 families. So, I think there's a little bit of a misguided focus there. Especially when it comes to local politics. I mean, everybody has something to say about national elections, and, you know, the recent Trump versus Biden election. But who can tell you about what's going on with the local school board, the city council, the county commissioners? I mean, most politics are local. And you know, I would venture to guess that many people in our community couldn't even tell you where the school board meets at or what night they meet, let alone who their local representative is. So
I'm sitting with two of them.
Oh, I know.
Well, I wish there was more of that. And, you know, Bob, you worked for the Wichita Eagle for a long time, great career. And unfortunately, it's really difficult to get current news. I mean, local news coverage, I think it's one of the biggest crises that our local communities face is, you know, how do you stay updated? How do you find out what's going on? It's just like, you know, local sports now, Bob. I mean, when I started coaching, we had always had a reporter at a game. I mean, every team was covered. The story was in the paper the next day. You know, Andover Central wins the state football championship. I don't know if I've read anything in the Eagle about it since it happened. I mean, I think they...
it's unfortunate, no question about it. That's why we, on this show, we try to highlight high school sports as much as we can.
Really appreciate that.
I'm curious, Joe. We've talked a lot about the shot clock. What do you think the conversation will be about the shot clock after this season ends? Because it's not only you're not going to use it in the postseason, it's also that not everyone is using it. And I saw the list today. Obviously, all the City League schools are, but there's like four schools in 6A who aren't using it. And the number grows as the classes get smaller. Those schools are going to have to like adjust to like playing Manhattan and then Manhattan's. It's just so weird. How do you think we'll be evaluating this a year from now?
Yeah, they're calling this an experimental year, and we'll use it all season. Most of the, as you said, Jeff, most of the 6A, 5A schools will do it. And then it goes away for the postseason, which, you know, we're all going to have to adjust to that, unfortunately. But I think we'll have it. It'll be a universal part of our game next year. There's strong support for it all across the country. The National Federation approved it, gave associations the opportunity to adopt it. Our coaches' association has been asking for it for a long time. So I think it's coming, and I think it'll be everywhere next year. You know, there's a cost involved with that for some smaller communities. Most of the gyms we play in already had a shot clock, they just weren't using it. So, you know, this will offer a buffer zone for gyms to get updated. And, you know, in our case, we're hiring an additional person to run that clock, but, you know, that's not that large of a cost. So I, to answer your question, I think it'll be everywhere next year. And the next big change in our game, just to keep up with how basketball is played everywhere else, will probably be the half circle, you know, as far as taking charges. And that's something we've been asking for a long time as well. You know, we're adding three games next year. So, you know, improvements are being made. But I think everybody will have the shot clock next year after this experimental year.
Well, Joe, you'll be out to talk to some of our folks at our Passion Project on December 28th. We really appreciate that. Look forward to it. I would love to read a long profile piece about you at some point. I think that would be very interesting.
I've been waiting to see one on them.
I've heard there could be something in the works somewhere, but we'll see if that happens, Joe.
Was a local journalist that sat down for a rather lengthy interview not too long ago, but he will not be named this time. But yeah, I haven't seen anything on that, Bob.
What a jerk that guy is.
No, I think he'll get to it.
He's a great young man, but hey, everybody's busy. Everybody's busy.
They're not that busy.
Joe, you're a good sport. We appreciate your time. We always enjoy talking to you, and best of luck.
Thank you, Bob, Jeff, Jason. Go Falcons. Guys, have a great day.
There you go.
Thank you.
Joe Auer.
You too.
Head boys basketball coach.
You've got to make me feel like the worst person alive, don't you? Appreciate that.
No, you're not the worst person alive.
Thanks.
you know, I'll just reiterate what I've said a million times. That would be a great, well-read story.
Yeah.
And Joe deserves it, frankly. I hope it happens. That's all. I hope it happens.
Well, I've got some time off around Christmas. I'll see if, I don't know. We'll see.
What do you think, dude?
Do my best.
Well, I don't know. Happen? I don't know what he's talking about. Who were we talking about? A specific?
You know, we've talked about it many times.
Of course, he does.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It'll happen.
He'll get her done.
Always good to talk to Joe Auer. We'll come back and talk some more high school basketball with Martin Shetler, the boys' coach at Andover. They have high hopes again for another successful year. Don't forget, 869-1240 is the IHOP hotline. Here's Martin Shetler from Andover, the boys' basketball coach. Martin, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
You bet. So you've been right in the mix of it in Class 5A for a while now. You were expected to have pretty much all your team back, at least your starters back, but you lost a couple players due to transfers. What are you expecting? What do you like about this team?
Yeah, we do. We have a lot of guys back. We lost one senior really with Blake Rucker, who was our leading scorer and scored a lot of points for us, and is at Barton County now. And then Quincy Bradford was also a starter for us last year, and his dad Nick Bradford took a job with the women's program at Arkansas, so we lost him. But other than that, we're bringing back a lot of guys that played a lot of minutes last year and had a lot of experience. Josh Kim's our point guard. He's been a varsity player for 4 years and been a starter for, this will be his third year as a starter. So looking for good things out of him, but we got some guys that are going to step up and play some bigger roles this year, and excited to see what they can do. A lot of juniors and seniors that are kind of been waiting for their time, and this should be the year for them.
I know a lot of these transfers have legitimate reasons, and guys will leave for, you know, they just moved. But are you starting to prepare for that more as a coach, knowing, you know, that there are things in place where kids can move, you know, more liberally? Is that something now that you're having to start to deal with a little bit more, that maybe there's going to be more roster turnover from year to year?
Yeah, for sure. I think you see it at the college level, and it's kind of coming down to the high school level more and more every year. At Andover, we're kind of in a more unique position that we kind of closed boundaries, kind of. I mean, we have the open boundary system now with the state, but we still have a pretty limited number of spots that we can have. So it's kind of hard to transfer into Andover. And we've been lucky enough not to have a lot of guys transfer out here lately, but for sure, I see it on other rosters of teams we play. And we're getting ready to play Derby, and I know they have a couple new guys that we don't really know much about. And some of the other teams we look at, and some names we are not familiar with or haven't seen play there. So it is different. It is coming. It's kind of part of what our society is now, I guess. But we're not really getting a lot of transfers into Andover. More of the kids moving out every once in a while.
Well, Coach, you had the summer to work with the kids, and obviously getting started here. Where do you see your team right now, and what are you expecting?
Yeah, we had a really good summer. I thought we got better through the summer. We're a work in progress for sure. I'm sure most coaches will say that. We have a long ways to go before I think we'll be at our best, but I like what we've done so far. With Josh back, I feel like every night we have either the best player on the floor or one of the best players on the floor, so that's always a good thing to have. And then we got some other guys that can really shoot the ball and do good things. And excited about where we're at now. Our schedule doesn't do us much favors here early. We have to go to Derby tomorrow, and then we're at McPherson next week. So we'll get challenged right away and see where we're at. But I'm excited. I think by the end of the year we'll be playing well, and we have a good core of guys to play.
Martin Shetler is our guest. He's the head boys basketball coach at Andover. As he said, they open at Derby coming up tomorrow night. You talk about Josh Kim, and yesterday we had Northwest Coach Andy Hill on, and he spent a lot of time talking about Eli Benning, his point guard. And to have a player like that, it gives you really a head start on everybody when you have an experienced point guard, especially two of this quality. How much does that mean to the Trojans to have Josh Kim back kind of running the show on the court?
Yeah, it's big because Josh has been in every situation. He started as a sophomore on our state championship team, so he's been all the way through it. And then last year he was kind of one of our top guys and had to kind of change his game to be a scorer. And then this year again. And it's always when he's on the floor, the other guys kind of look to him and they know that they looked at him to be a leader, and he does a good job with that. It's a big deal. It's comfortable for me. I mean, I've had Josh on the floor for 4 years now, so he and I have a really good relationship. So he kind of knows what we want to do, what I want to do, and it's easy to communicate with him. And I kind of let him have a feel for the game, and he calls stuff and does things. So it's a big advantage to have someone like Josh or Eli at Northwest is a big advantage for us.
So, yeah, you talked about the state championship a couple of years ago. Last year it was Highland Park. It felt like they couldn't miss a shot in that game in Emporia. I'm just curious, as a coach, what you take away, how you compare those kind of two different experiences. Obviously, you prefer winning and ending your season with a win, but do you learn as much from a year like that, or does it take maybe a hardship or two to really grow?
You know, last year was a good experience. Blake was our only senior last year, and he tore his ACL like two games before he went to state. So our younger guys really got a lot of experience playing in sub-state without Blake, without a senior, all sophomores and juniors, and then got a chance to play in that state game. And Highland Park was really good that night. But it was a good experience, even though we didn't get a chance to win or didn't get a win. I think it helps a lot for these guys to play in those situations, and then it helps it to make it not easier because it's never easy to get there, but it doesn't give you those experiences to get back there. And then once you're there, you kind of know what it's going to be like. So getting those guys a chance to play in that game and just be at the state tournament, I think, is a big advantage. And for this year, and then a lot of those guys were sophomores last year that played in that game too. So I think for these next 2 years, they've already had that, seeing what it's like and what it takes to get there is a big advantage that we need to take advantage of.
High school basketball is upon us. Andover opens tomorrow night at Derby. Martin Shetler has been our guest. Martin, we really enjoy talking high school basketball. Thank you for coming on to talk about your team.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, thanks. There you go. I saw his son, Eli, who started his basketball career at Indiana State, left to go to Drake.
Really?
And they're unbeaten under Ben McCollum, who went there from Northwest Missouri State, where he built an incredible Division II program, and he's done a fantastic job so far at Drake with three transfers from Northwest Missouri.
Yeah, that's interesting. You always have a little bit of a soft spot for Drake for some reason.
Why?
I don't know.
Long-time Valley member.
They do well. Because they were the doormat for a long time.
I used to make fun of Drake quite often.
Yeah, and that's probably why.
Oh, really?
I like Drake.
Well, anything I do.
Makes sense. Cleveland, Drake, same type of thing.
What's your deal? I knew you were in a bad mood today. I could see it from jump.
I was just saying. I mean, that kind of makes sense. That's where you gravitate to.
What about the Pacers? They're bad, too.
I have an affinity. I have an affinity for all the old Valley guard.
Even Tulsa?
Sure. Drake, Bradley, those schools have been in the Valley forever and ever.
Yeah, I've lost track of Bradley.
I think they're okay. As I said, Drake's undefeated. Let me look them up.
Why don't you?
Now you got me curious.
Well, you could just look at the Valley standings. That's probably what I'd do.
Well, that's what I'm doing.
You guys are so smart.
Good idea.
Bradley's 8-1. Belmont 7-2. Drake hasn't played a Valley game yet, but they're undefeated. So some good teams. Murray State 5-2. Belmont was a great addition. Illinois Chicago not so much. Evansville needs to go away.
Poor Evansville.
Valparaiso had some moments at one time, but boy. It's not a great conference.
Missouri State is going away.
They are going away. And who'd they replace them with? Have they announced that?
I don't think so.
Missouri State going to the Sun Belt, right?
Sounds right.
Or Conference USA. I think it's Conference USA. They want to play Division I football.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Yeah, they'll need it.
Well, in that conference, they might be. Who knows?
Just nobody really knows.
Nobody knows.
When you really think about it, nobody really knows.
Now, I don't know what Missouri State will do. I know that I enjoyed going to Springfield in my life and my career.
Springfield's a nice town.
And it was always a treat to drive 4.5 hours to Springfield, Missouri.
Yeah, that whole part of the state is just beautiful.
A great arena over there.
We saw the Eagles there.
We did.
It was a good experience.
They opened up that arena.
Yeah, they opened up a lot of arenas.
The JQH.
They opened up the Box Center
Arena. I don't know if it's still named that or not.
I'm sure it is.
All right, we'll take a break. Come back another hour. The three-man booth here today. Max Power back in the studio producing and engineering. No game from Duda today. That's tomorrow. But we will make picks.
Oh.
Coming up at 3:25. Anthony will join in along with Max, who both had pretty good weeks, but boy, they got a long way to go to catch me.
Oh, jeez.
Back in a minute.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.